You're listening to the Taco Tuesday podcast on AddictedToQuack.com. What is up, Duck fans? It's Takimoto of AddictedToQuack.com, and this is the first ever Taco Tuesdays podcast. This is a completely new thing I'm trying. I'm going to work it in periodically throughout articles this year, and we'll see how it goes. Last year went so well with the writing that I thought I'd step it up to audio. Next year, it'll probably be a live web stream of me drinking for an hour, and that'll be entertaining as hell. And, you know, when I do something, I do it big. So we got, you know, an intro theme that I definitely didn't write myself. We've got an announcer that definitely wasn't me in a funny voice, and I'm here to bring it. So this first one, I'm flying solo, and if you would like to be a guest on the Taco Tuesday podcast, shout me something in the comments and what you want to talk about, and we'll see if we can get that figured out. For this first one, I'll be talking a little bit of college hoops. We'll go over some of my recruiting thoughts. And then we'll get to the issue of the day. Last weekend we got a split in the Bay Area with our men's basketball team, which is fantastic. I thought we played better than I've ever remembered us playing as a Duck fan in the Bay Area, because we generally bring a pretty special brand of suck to Northern California. As most of you might already know, that was the first time we won in Maples Pavilion since 1986. To restate that, the last time the Ducks won a basketball game in Maples Pavilion, I was a fetus. Yeah, a fetus. So it's been a long time. And we dropped one on Saturday against Cal that the refs just ruined. Neither team was able to get into a rhythm. I think that hurt the Ducks more than it did the Bears with our press style. I think a more fluid game would have benefited us, would have forced some more turnovers, and maybe we'd pull that one out. But I was most impressed with the fact that last year's Ernie Kent team, if we get down 29-11 in the first half, that team's given up. That team is quitting, and we're losing that game by 25. Not this year. This team came back, stayed energetic, kept pressing, kept putting up shots. Eventually, they started falling, and we crawled back and almost took the lead in that game. So that was extremely impressive. And it's hard to win on the road in the Pac-10 in any year. Doesn't matter if this year is, you know, these last couple of years have been particularly down years for the conference. But it's still hard to win on the road in the Pac-10. So being able to walk out with a split, sitting at 3-6 through the first half of Pac-10 play, that's better than our expectations coming into the season. We were thinking two Pac-10 games would be about par for the course, and we've already won two Pac-10 road games. So Dana Altman and his team are already exceeding expectations, and I couldn't be happier. Well, next we can go ahead and talk about some recruiting. And as many of you know already, have been following this recruiting saga, the big breaking news is DeAnthony Thomas, who is currently he's the number one DB recruit in the country. He's currently a USC commit, but the rumors are swirling that he's going to make a switch and become a Duck. I'm the kind of person that tends to not really get invested in a player or what they're going to be like in a Duck uniform until they've signed their letter of intent. Or until at least they've got a strong and public verbal. Because right now, rumors, especially in college football recruiting, mean jack squat. But it's been said many times, and it's worth repeating, this is the best recruiting class in Oregon history. The job that Chip Kelly and his staff have done, I mean, going to BCS Bowls 2 years in a row can't hurt, but the job that Chip Kelly and his staff have done to go not just on the West Coast, but to pull recruits from Texas, from Iowa, from South Carolina, to be able to break into these, a full national recruiting pool to draw from is, you know, it's making us, we're already one of the elite teams in the country right now, and it's only going to sustain our success. I'm going to give my top five recruits I'm most excited for. But before I do that, I want to talk about the issue of the day, which is if you're an 18-year-old kid and you're thinking of coming to Oregon, a lot of you tend to get really excited. You start to, a lot of us as fans, I mean, we start to, you know, watch highlight videos of these kids running over inferior high school competition, and, you know, we read all these synopses on Scout or on Rivals or on ESPN about what type of player this player can be, but really, we don't really get a great idea until they come in and we see him in spring practice, we see him in summer workouts, and then we get an idea of the kind of player we're dealing with. So what I try and judge my recruiting excitement on is a player's name. And this is my issue of the day, and it's that an athlete's name has a considerable amount of bearing on their success as in their career. And I know it seems like something very trivial and something that you think, you know, that's ridiculous. How can a player's name have an effect on it? But the great athletes have great names. I think it's most evident at as an NFL quarterback. You go through the best quarterbacks ever. You've got guys like Joe Montana, Johnny Unitas, Bart Starr, Terry Bradshaw. These are great football names. These are just great man names. Joe Montana, my pick for the greatest quarterback of all time, most people's pick for the greatest quarterback of all time. That name's not even real. Joe Montana, are you kidding me? That's a character in a Steven Spielberg movie. That's not a person. There are reasons why players like Joe Montana become all-time greats, and players like J.P. Lossman never become anything. And I really think to bring this, you know, from a duck point of view, this was maybe one of the big reasons why Joey Harrington failed as a pro. Try and think about any, you know, Hall of Fame caliber or even borderline Hall of Fame caliber professional athlete's name, Joey. I'll give you another second. Because I don't think there are any. I mean, Joey is, you know, the goofy uncle on Full House. He's not an NFL quarterback. If Joey Harrington had been Joe Harrington his whole life, he might have had more of a chance. There's a reason why all the great athletes with the name Joseph go by Joe instead of Joey. You've got Montana. You've got, who else? You've got Namath. From a modern standpoint, you've got Joe Flacco, who's, you know, quarterback from Delaware. Who thought he would have been a great pro? He's got a great name, Joe Flacco. I trust a quarterback named Joe Flacco. I don't trust a quarterback named Alex Smith or Sean Hill or Marcus Tuiasosopo. I don't trust quarterbacks with those names. I'll trust a Joe Flacco. I'll trust a Sam Bradford. You know, I don't see how, especially an NFL quarterback, how you can succeed with a great name. I mean, that's why Jake Locker is going to fail as a pro. I'm pretty certain of that. Jake Locker should be, you know, racing stock cars on the nationwide circuit. He shouldn't be throwing passes in the NFL. Anyway, back to my point is that a name has, you know, a lot of merit. And if you go down the list of, you know, these recruits, you know, there's some great names in here, and that's what gets me excited. And I think back to Ducks. I mean, to be honest, and the Ducks now, great names. Kenyon Barner, LaMichael James, you know, all these guys have Spencer Pacinger and Casey Matthews. Those sound like linebackers, you know, and I think back even, you know, back a few years, guys like Anthony Trucks, Justin Finnessy, Patrick Chung, these sound like football players. And so coming in, I hear we get, you know, we get a guy, let's see, we get a guy named Roderick Byers, defensive end, 3-star. Sure, he might be a good player, but his name doesn't thrill me. So here are my top 5 Oregon Duck verbals currently. So I'll leave DeAndre Thomas off this list. Top 5 Oregon verbals that I'm most excited about purely based on their name. Number 5, we're going to start with Anthony Wallace, who I know many of you Duck fans out there excited because of who he is on the field. But he's just got one of those great linebacker names, Anthony Wallace. It just sounds like he's going to hit you in the mouth. He's going to hit you really hard. The ball's going to come loose, and we're going to score a touchdown. It's like Patrick Willis. Anthony Wallace, Patrick Willis. It sounds good. It sounds like a tough name. Number 4, I'm going to go with BJ Kelly, wide receiver. I mean, I'm excited because of, you know, just his measurables. I love a 6'2 wide receiver who's fast. Right now, he's listed at about 172 pounds. Put him in our weight room. We'll get him up to, like, 185. And having these tall wide receivers helps. Like, you take a guy like Tecoy Sumler, who's going to be a threat. He's going to be, you know, a more athletic and more talented Josh Huff. But he's 5'8", so you can't throw, you know, you can't just toss the ball up there in a one-on-one with a DB and expect him to come down with it like you can a Lavoisier Tuine or a Jason Williams, somebody, you know, with size. And BJ Kelly comes in as that, you know, that tall wide receiver that's going to be, you know, 4 inches taller than Pac-10 corners and, you know, is going to catch some deep balls. Number 3 is Andre Irudigoyena. Come on. Big giant Russian offensive tackle. I'll take it every time. And yes, I did pronounce, I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it, Irudigoyena. If that's wrong, you know, Andre, you've got a really, really long and really, really confusing looking name. If you can go ahead and spell it out phonetically for me, I will never get it wrong, ever. Number 2, Devon Blackman. I just have to tell you, all I have to say is the Ducks are getting a player named Devon Blackman. And you go, ooh, I love athletic wide receivers. He just sounds like a guy that's, you know, he's going to be real good. And number 1, my current man crush from this recruiting season, quarterback Gerard Randall. I've pretty much given him the starting quarterback spot once Brian Bennett's gone in my head. And, you know, he might beat out Brian Bennett for the starting quarterback spot as a sophomore or a redshirt freshman. That's fantastic. I mean, this guy, he's more of the perfect dual threat quarterback for our system than maybe even Darren Thomas. He's a better runner than Darren Thomas is. And his arm will develop. And he just, that name, just Gerard Randall. He's going to be a top-notch Oregon quarterback. You can just feel it. So I wanted to keep today's podcast pretty brief, especially because it's just me up here yapping. But feel free in the comments. Tell me what you think. Tell me what you would like to see in this space, what you would like to hear in this space. And, you know, if you want to come on the program and you got something to talk about, bring it to me, because I am open for any and all topics, on topic or off topic. And Matt Daddy I'm going to have to get you on the program because we are going to do some sort of PBR versus Rainier point counterpoint thing. That's just going to be terrible, terrible audio, and no one's going to want to listen to it. But we're going to have a lot of fun doing it, and, you know, screw those other people. So, that was the opening volley of the Taco Tuesdays podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got something out of it. And have a good day, and go Ducks.